Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. What is this book, Brother Joseph?
Well, it's just, you know, the scrolls, the all-day scroll. It was a stick, wooden stick with a parchment around it. Sometimes it was just paper, mm-hmm. special paper. And at the time it was actually skin from sheep. Parchment, or scrolls. Mm-hmm. It was not the books we see, the ones that they bind today, etc.
But what's the meaning of the book? What's in the book?
Well, we're going to see now in this chapter.
Ah, okay.
Okay, this is the book of the future.
The book of the future?
This is what the book of Revelation is all about.
Wow. All right, let's start. All right,
you'll see. It's a very interesting chapter.
Thank you, Jesus. Verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, what does it mean, no man under the earth? Because I understand no man in heaven, no man on earth. But what does it mean, no man under the earth?
Because under the earth there are men.
And what are they doing under the earth?
Well, you know, there is Hades, the place of the dead. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they just comprehensive or wherever. It just wants to make sure that says nobody is worth it. It's worth opening this book.
It impresses me here, the heart of John. He said, "I wept much because no man was found worthy."
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It shows how he has a shepherd's heart and he cries over the lost people. And I'm praying for that too. I'm really praying to have a shepherd's heart.
Well, if you pray, the Lord will give it to you.
Amen.
So one of the elders said that there is one who's worthy, who prevailed. And that must be Jesus, right? The Lion of the tribe.
The Lion of Judah. The Root of David.
What does it mean, the Root of David?
Notice that it doesn't say the seed of David, okay?
Yeah, but he is the seed of David.
Well, he's the seed of God.
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you think about it, it's not that Jesus came out of
Jesus,
David.
The son of Mary, genealogy of David. They used to call it the son of David.
I know Jesus one time told the Jews, "Whose son is Christ?" Because David calls him Lord. So does that go together with the root of David?
Yeah, it goes. Yeah, actually, you see, the question that Jesus asked the Pharisee was, "The Christ, whose son is he?" And they said, "The son mm-hmm. of David."
Yeah.
And then Jesus answers, says, "So why
David calls him
David
Lord?"
David calls him Lord.
Right.
Why do you say the Lord sent to unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand? Hmm. So if David calls him Lord to Christ, how can Christ be his son? You see, even today you hear preachers saying, calling Jesus son of David. He's not the son of David. He's through the genealogy of David was going to come Mary. Okay, but he is not exactly the complete son of Mary, because you know a woman cannot have children without the seed. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he's the son of God, all right? Mary, God, pregnant by the seed of God.
Amen.
All right? And, you know, in Greek, the word seed in the New Testament is the word sperma. That's where we get the word sperma. Mm-hmm. So basically, Jesus was conceived by Mary by the sperm of God. Wow. You understand? That's what happened. So Jesus was making a point here. Say, he was trying to show that he was the son of God. Okay, so for today, I know some preachers, they do that. Son of David is like, he's not the son of David. Jesus contradicted that. Mary was the daughter of David, genealogy. Jesus was born of Mary, all right? And he was the son of Mary as far as she was like the, you know, incubator, the pregnancy. But the seed, the sperm was from God. Okay,
so basically, physically only he's the son of David.
Yeah, but that died. The son of David... the son of Mary is not around anymore. The son, Jesus of Nazareth, died. It's finished.
And it's amazing here. It says,
what resurrected was the pure Son of God. The Jesus of the resurrections have nothing to do with the Son of Mary. In fact, in Matthew 12 and elsewhere, Jesus says, who's my mother, who are my brethren. These are my brethren, they that do God's will. He was saying, I'm the Son of God. I'm not Jesus of Nazareth, son of Mary. Hey, look at me, I'm God. I'm the representative. I am the Word made flesh. You understand? So what resurrected was the Son of God. And we need to keep our eyes on that, not on Mary, but on Jesus, all right?
It's amazing here in Revelation it says the root of David. Mm-hmm. So basically David comes from the root, yeah, which
exactly.
is Christ.
Yeah, exactly right. In fact, in Revelation 22, it repeats that. It said, I am the morning star, I am the root of David. Mm-hmm. Like David comes from Jesus. Jesus does not come from Christ. Well, let me correct that. Jesus comes from David and Mary, Jesus of Nazareth. Christ, no. Mm-hmm. All right, Christ comes from God, and David comes from Christ or from God. All right,
Amen.
So he's the root. From that root came Jesse, and came David, and came everybody. The root from Jesus. All right.
Amen.
Next,
verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For you are slain, and has redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
Wow.
There's a lot in these few scriptures. Can we start with verse 6?
Okay.
So the Lamb is Jesus, but he has seven horns and seven eyes.
Yeah.
That's not how I imagine Jesus in heaven. Okay. And the description we had before in the book of Revelation, it was different.
Chapter 1.
No, but this is symbolic, okay?
Okay.
Like a lamb slain in heaven, Jesus doesn't go around like a slain lamb. That's symbolic.
Okay.
The okay, book of Revelation is both literal, historical, is symbolic.
Okay, the seven spirits you explained are part of the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
And it could be what you explained earlier. Yeah. But the seven horns?
The seven horns.
In my mind, horns is like the devil, you know? Why does Jesus have seven horns?
These are horns of a lamb. No, horns, they're neither good or evil. It's like a knife. You can use it for good or evil. It's like a weapon. You can use it to defend the right or to hurt the good. It depends. So the horns represent power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So in this case, Jesus has seven horns because in God's kingdom, everything goes by seven.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You have seven holes in your head. There are seven colors in
the rainbow.
What do
you mean seven holes yeah. in my head?
count the holes in your head. There's seven.
I don't have any.
No.
Two eyes.
Your ears, your nose.
Nostrils and eyes, that's four. The mouth, yeah. That's five. Two ears.
Okay.
Seven. So everything goes with the sevens are the notes, the musical notes. Sevens are the rainbows, colors. And I mean, everything goes by seven. Seven in our perfection because God has seven spirits.
Okay.
So Jesus has seven horns symbolically in heaven. Represents that he has seven powers. We just enumerated them before, right?
Yes.
So that's it.
And verse 8, it says, they took the vials full of perfume odors, which are the prayers of the saints. What does that mean?
So when you pray, you are shedding perfume in front of God's throne.
Hmm.
Our prayer can be of suffering, can be with tears, you can be in a jail, crying up to Jesus day and night, you can be sick and you cry out for healing, or you can pray for the salvation of souls, you can pray for a full heart for Jesus, you can pray for God to use you, whatever, it's perfume. Whatever
Amen.
Prayer sincere from a
All
full
that.
Heart is perfume.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
Amen.
And verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
Yeah, that's quite a topic here, like something that difficult to grasp for us.
Very difficult.
I mean, how am I going to... It's like, we are worthy of nothing. And here, like it says in Revelation 2, 2:26, Revelation 3:21, I believe it says we like he that overcomes, Jesus says, I will grant him to sit on my throne as I overcame and I am sitting on my Father's throne. In everywhere in the Bible, Jesus says in the Gospel, he that followed me forsaken all, he shall receive eternal life. In Matthew 19:29. And you shall judge the 12 tribes of Israel. In Daniel chapter 7, it says that judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. Everywhere in Revelation 20, verse 4, the saints shall sit on throne judging. So it's like...
But you just said the key, he that overcomes.
Right, right. It's not by grace, it's not by the new covenant.
It's not just any born again.
Yeah, no, no. Like today, there is a lot of false doctrine that because we have a new covenant, we can go to sleep, do nothing for God, accumulate money, gospel of prosperity, and God is going to bless us. Not at all. It's like God is going to vomit us out from his mouth. He's going to spit us out. Like he said to some churches, see Revelation 3:14. He told the church, because you are lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. It's like the church of Laodicea and Sardis, they had the covenant, they were born again. Nevertheless, he said to Sardis, he said, you're ready to die, Revelation 3:1. And to Laodicea, he said, you think you have everything, you're rich, increase with goods. You are just... I'm going to vomit you out. And the gospel of prosperity is very well painted in the 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you study that chapter, it's all about the gospel of prosperity, okay? They that want to be rich in this world, they fall into the snare of the devil, and they will bring upon them sufferings. The love of money is the root of all evil. And so, you know, the false prophets say, oh, well, God is not preaching against money. He's preaching against the love of money. We don't love money. We just accumulate it because it's our hobby. You know, it's ridiculous. It's a false
prophet. Give your time and life to it, you love it.
No, it's ridiculous. So it's like, see, today we live in the Laodicea era. The church, the things are going to be raptured before tribulation because they're so good. They deserve. Forget it. This church is going to be purged to see who's really the church, who's really born again, and who is falsely thinking to be born again. What does it mean to be born again? I mean, if you read the gospel, I tell you, Jesus, it's almost everything by works. Like, if you don't work for Jesus, we are out of the law of Moses, but we are under a new law now, you know, under the law of Christ. Okay, Jesus, it's all by works, you know. It's all by works in Christ. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? You don't do the things which I say. Many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, who have we prophesied, we cast out devil. I say to them, I don't know you. Yeah, they were born again. I'm sure they were born again. I'm sure they were in the new covenant. They were casting out devil in the name of Jesus. Matthew 7:20-23. They were casting out devil in the name of Jesus. That's for sure born again. Born again has nothing to do with receiving blessings. Okay?
Amen. What impresses me is that the 24 elders, they say, you have made us kings and priests and we will reign. And yet they just cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus and they continually worship. And that's how we should be. I'm thinking sometimes I go evangelizing, and when somebody gets saved, I just feel so good about it. But I'm just still an unworthy servant. It's just God's Spirit who does everything.
Very important we can stand our crown at Jesus' feet. Very important.
Yeah.
You see, if this some among us, Christian, are going to be chosen to be kings. Kings of what? We're not going to go to heaven and be the king of heaven.
It says reign on the earth.
On the earth, understand? Mm-hmm. In fact, if you go to Revelation 21, there is a new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem.
So on the new earth.
On the new earth, exactly. In fact, Revelation 21, it says, the kings of the earth shall bring the glory into new Jerusalem. Do you understand? So it's like these kings are going to be ruling into the new earth. In Luke chapter 19, I believe, in the parable of the talents, it talks about you were faithful with five talents, here is five cities. You're faithful with 10 talents, here is 10 cities.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So Jesus is bringing the example right down to earth, really to earth.
Amen.
You understand? They're going to be nations, all right? And the kings of the nations, Revelation 21, they're going to be nations. Not everybody is going to be cast in the lake of fire who is not born again, who is not born again in Christ. You can read that, Revelation 20, verse 11 until 15. Some are going to be saved by works, those who didn't have Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Those are going to be living into the new earth,
yeah.
Like now. like now, just have the body like now. They're going to be sick like they are today. They're going to suffer like people there. They're going to be in depression like people are today. They're going to be adulterers. They're going to be idolaters. And they will need the healing of the leaves of the tree of life, Revelation 22, verse 2. Do you understand? So anyway, when we get there...
So we will keep evangelizing. That's exciting.
When we get there to that chapter, we'll explain a little bit deeper. But amen. I'll tell you, it says here, you made us kings, you shall rule over the earth. He's talking about those among us who are now living as if they were already the bride of Christ. Those among us who are now today dedicating all to Jesus. If they have a job, a salary, okay, you need a salary, you need to pay your rent, you need to have a little car. But everything else that is not essential, you better spend it for Jesus Christ, for the gospel, to reach the lost. Do you understand? This is the bride of Christ.
Yes,
these are going to be the ones which be the kings ruling over the earth, because
amen.
They were faithful in the least.
God amen? Help us, amen.
Amen.
Continue verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands.
You can't count.
That's many.
You cannot count. thousand.
Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings."
These are the seven spirits of God. Okay?
Amen.
Which I think. It doesn't say, but that's what I think they are. We will see in heaven.
And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard thy saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lives forever and ever. Thank you, Jesus. May the Lord help us to be this kind of worshipers.
Amen.
And like you said previously, in our hearts, continually to be in contact, worshiping him, loving him.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.